hundred times.
2 hours of great new songs and singers. I hope you'll join us Thursday night from 10 to midnight or online at WBAI.org.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, Good Morning Nueva York with me, your host, King Downing. Good morning.
You know how I feel. Breeze drifting by.
How are you this morning? Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till the top of the next hour. Giovanni Anglin is filling in engineering in studio. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the many overnight or essential workers just getting home, let us tuck you in. It's a new day, new month, new year, new decade. Get it done in 21. We started off with Lai Du by Rokia Traoré. She's a singer-songwriter and guitarist from Mali, which is in northern Africa, near Algeria, just south of there. And then, of course, our theme song, Feeling Good, by Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters. On today's program, continuing our series on dance that started with our great special program on Pearl Primus. That premium is still available if you want to donate to the station. More on that later. And continuing with our conversation yesterday with rising dancer Sequoia Aya, we sit with the founder of a dance organization that has been giving young people a love of music and movement for well over a decade. And in the second half of the program, as Stokely Carmichael, SNCC leader, that Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and Black Panther Party for Self-Defense member, later known as Kwame Ture, famously said, if the people don't organize themselves, conditions will. Now the pandemic brings homeschooling to families that never thought they'd find themselves there. We'll be joined by the head of a homeschool organization, a veteran homeschooler herself, with virtual education tools and advice for everyone. But first, weather in transit. It's 50 degrees, fair, 2% chance of rain, a high of 67, low of 47 today. Sunrise, 627, sunset, 728. For the morning, we're looking at 57 degrees, sunny, no rain. For the afternoon, 65 degrees, sunny, no rain. And for the evening, 55, clear, 5% chance of rain. For tomorrow, Friday, a high of 59, a low of 50, mostly cloudy, 8% chance of rain. For transit, service changes on the 147 D, J, L, and W. Of course, no subway service from 2 to 4 a.m. Go to mta.info for the latest. And now, on with the program. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till the top of the next hour. Giovanni Anglin is engineering. We continue our series on dance that started with the special program on Pearl Primus. That's her in the background. That's the opening to her welcome dance. So we continue, and we told you the story yesterday of rising dancer Sequoia Aya. Today, we sit with the founder of an organization that has been giving young people a love of music and movement for well over a decade. That organization is the Holistic Arts Center, and joining us this morning is its founder, Margarita Gale Major. Good morning, and welcome to Good Morning Nueva York.
Grand Rising to you, and Grand Rising to New York. Give thanks. I'm happy to be here to join you this morning.
Great. So tell us about Holistic Arts Center, how you got it started, and what inspired you.
My inspiration, Holistic Arts. Well, the actual connection with my artistic background and my holistic living. So I wanted to bring dance into the holistic world because it was a perfect tie-in. It just goes well together. You can't be a great, healthy dancer if you're not eating well and being, you know, taking care of yourself. So I wanted to bridge that gap and bring them together. And I came up with the idea of creating my own company, and not just a dance company with a fancy name, with my name, you know, anything like that. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make it more meaningful for everyone who participated. So the Holistic Arts Development Center was created to make sure that whatever I do, the idea of being well and healthy was always tied into dance.
And so because dance is visual and we're an audio medium, we can have our audience, the folks I call the play at home audience, can go to the Holistic Arts Development Center Facebook page listed as Holistic Arts Center. And there you can see some of the videos of some of the work, and we'll be taking a listen to some of that later. So what age group do you work with?
I work with anyone from 0 to 100. Well, I don't have a specific age group that I do not work with. I work with all age groups. However, I prefer the babies. I like the little ones. Because I have so much fun with the babies. It's so much more meaningful to the little ones to have a great time. The older you get, the more serious-minded you are, and some folks get into dance with an idea of I'm going to do this because I want to get healthy or, you know, specific thing. But children, babies, they just want to move and have a great time. So I really enjoy with the babies more. Babies like elementary age.
And I assume your background is a dancer. Tell us about your background.
Okay. I started very young, and I have a very interesting story. And I use my story to share with other dancers, inspiring dancers, and artists in general to give them, you know, an idea of how you have to live your dream. Now, my story started when I was 5. I was born in Jamaica. I was a little girl in Jamaica, and dance came to my school in first grade. And I signed up for the program, and I started dancing there. And the interesting part about my story is I've been dancing now for over 45 years, and it's very difficult to believe, but my mother has never seen me dance. I've danced at hundreds of venues, and I've danced for many years. And my father may have seen me dance once. And it's an incredible story. People don't really believe that. But at 5 years old, the dance that came, I danced at school. So there was no reason for, there was no main occasion when we performed. I don't think they were able to afford going to any of the events that I performed at. So that continued. And then as I got older and became more interested in dance as a teenager, I sought dance classes out myself. I would raise my own money and buy my own dance clothes and dance shoes and everything that I needed for dance. And then when the performances started and my parents couldn't take me, I would make arrangements with my friends' parents and dance teachers, and I would just do whatever it took to get me there. And that's the story that I tell my students, that when you're passionate about something and it's a burning desire inside, whatever you have to do, you have to figure it out. And I knew that at 5 years old. And I've never stopped dancing ever since. That same drive and inspiration and passion that I had at 5 years old is still lives in me.
So has your mother ever seen a recording of you dancing?
Yes, she has. She has seen a recording of me. As a matter of fact, recently I did a program in Miami in conjunction with the African Heritage Cultural Arts Center. And I was able to upload the video and actually go visit her, pull out the phone, and said, "Look, Mom, look, I'm dancing. You can see me dance." We had a great time, though. She loved it. She's been showing all her friends and everybody she sees. "Look, my daughter." And the great thing about that performance, my two daughters were a part of the program as well. So I have a daughter that is 20 and one 18. And they were both a part of the program. So it was really, and she also had a granddaughter and another granddaughter, my sister's daughter, and her daughter. So she had a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, three granddaughters, a great-granddaughter, and a daughter all in the one dance. So she was beyond blown away. She loved it.
And maybe that'll get her to one of the performances after that, because you know how they are about their grandbabies.
The grandbabies, yes. Oh, I'm sure I can get her to a performance. Now, she's actually seen my children perform several times. But, you know, like you said, the grandbabies, when the grandbabies are dancing, they show up.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. So if you missed part of this program or you want to spread the word to folks who you didn't get to while the show was airing, you can go there, you can send them to the link, and they can either watch it online or download it as an MP3. The program is Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till the top of the next hour. Giovanni Anglin is engineering in studio, and I am remote for the time being. And we're talking about dance, and we're talking about the Holistic Arts Development Center. And we're speaking with Margarita Gale Major, who is the founder. And she just mentioned a performance that she did in Miami, and we're going to be taking a listen to it. You'll wonder how we're going to listen to dance. Well, we're going to hear the track that she and her company and her daughters and her granddaughters, and I think she said her great-granddaughter, all performed in, and she's going to describe what's going on as we listen to the music. It's an exciting piece, so stick around to hear that. So when you talk about holistic dance, I know that people can have a holistic lifestyle in the way they mm-hmm. eat. I follow as much of that myself as I can. What would holistic dance look like, or am I just reading the words the wrong way?
No, you're absolutely, you're reading them right. Holistic dance for me is basically dancing through nature, if that makes sense. So dance itself is an imitation of nature, right? There are many dancers that imitate animals, the dances that imitate, you can do a performance and pretend to be the wind or the rain or the sunshine or the earth. You follow what I'm saying? So the connection with this holistic and dance is really the connection with nature. And then with all of that put together, you can't not be a part of nature and not think of wellness, okay? Because everything about wellness is through nature, plant-based life, nature. So when you combine nature and dance together, you get the holistic dance. And then your dance itself gets an upgrade, right? If you're feeling good, if you're well and your cells are activated, your metabolism is on high, and when you combine all of that with your dance gets an upgrade. You look better, you glide, you flow, you glow. All that comes within your dance if you're well with your dance. If you don't feel good inside, it's going to show in your performance. So once you make the connection with the holistic living, then your dance just blooms like a flower.
We're going to open up the phone lines. The number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. If you have any questions or comments about dance, your own experience, something you've seen, or anything else you want to talk about, you know, the floor is yours. And while we're bringing in folks who may want to call and have something to say, I'm going to ask you to also do something else at the same time, and it's going to be to support the station. We've been covering dance. This is our third program on that front, and I want to invite you to become a member of the station or renew your membership. As you know, as we've told you many times, but you may be here for the first time, we completely depend on our members to support this nonprofit 61-year-old station and network that all operates in that way. And we have, in return for your membership, you can become a member for as little as $25, but we have a special dance package that we've been promoting for the last few weeks. It's called the Pearl Primus Package. And for a pledge of $40, you can get the DVD, Omawali, which tells her story of her going to Africa as a dancer, filming the traditional dances, bringing them back, and starting a dance company that actually performed them as she found them, keeping them preserved. And you'll even hear my little story of being a drummer who played to those but never had the connection until we brought Pearl Primus's nephew on, and then I understood the full background of what had been lost after my years of sharing these dances and rhythms without knowing all the background. So for a $40 pledge, you'll get that documentary, and for an additional $10, you'll get two videos of Pearl Primus, one of her performing And the second one, videos that she actually took in Africa showing the Zulus actually doing the war dance. And we're also throwing in as a special for that extra $10 that brings the total to $50, an unbelievable video of a three-year-old who blows away an audience doing her Black History poem. She is something to see, this little dynamo. Her name is Peyton Rain Kem, and she's from the Bronzeville section of Chicago. You have to see that to believe it. So all of that for a pledge of $50. And the way you get that is by emailing me at king@wbai.org, king@wbai.org. And we will get in contact with each other, and we will set up the donation and get your gift to you. The Pearl Primus package, the documentary DVD, $40 for an additional $10, two videos, Pearl Primus, her videos from Africa, her performance that you just heard part of to the welcome dance and to the war dance, and then little Peyton Rain Kem's video of her Black awareness, Black love poem. It's unbelievable. We'll turn back to our guest from the Holistic Arts Development Center, Margarita Gale Major. So we're gonna play now the audio from the show that you did in Miami. And since our folks are just going to hear the sound, we're going to play a bit of that, and then I'm going to ask you to join in and fill us in on the style of dance and anything else you want to tell us. So first, just tell me what the name of it is, because I've just been calling it the Miami Show. Did you have a name for that particular dance?
The name of the dance is called Carnival in the Water, right? And it's the song is about really just dancing, and it's all about water and river, and it's just a really fun dance. It's a carnival piece that was put together for a dance collective in Miami, and it's just a whole lot of fun.
All right, let's take a listen to Carnival in the Water. So, Margarita, tell us what's going on in the dance right now, Carnival in the Water.
Yes, so in the dance, this is all about fun, and the water is the vibe. The water is the vibe, the energy of dancing and having fun at Carnival. So if you, while you're dancing and you're coming down, you have to get out the way if you can't take the vibe, because it's going to be raining down. It's going to be flowing like a river, and there's this festival of movements that comes out, and the excitement and the fun, and it's a street party vibe, and you come out and it's just a rush of fun and movement and dancing, and you just want to get out your seat and join the dance. So when you're watching the dance and you see, go ahead.
No, you can finish that, but I'll just throw in the question and you continue. So what style of dance is going on and how are people moving?
Okay, so this is the carnival dance. So when you think of carnival in the summer and all the bright costumes and the feathers and the beads and the color, that's what you envision. And for some people who've never seen carnival, it almost looks like Mardi Gras. So if you think of Mardi Gras and that type of fun where there's people everywhere, excitement everywhere, people throwing things. So this dance represents that whole street festival fantasy type energy.
Can you pick one sort of move and describe what? Oh, well, no. At a certain point, you make an entrance. Tell us how you are dressed and what you do.
Okay. So in this piece, usually in carnival, there's a queen, and the queen comes usually enters after the posse or everybody else do their thing, and then the queen comes out. So I am the queen in this piece, and I come out in this huge costume with the feathers everywhere, very brightly colored. And then I bring, there are two sets of dancers that are dancing, and then there's one set of dancer that has fabric on the stage, and the fabric represents the water, and they're moving the fabric back and forth, and it looks like there's water flowing. This is all happening on the stage. It's very theatrical. And then I come in, and I bring the other group of dancers in that are running in and out of the water, and looks like everybody is all in the river. That's the whole idea, that they're dancing in the river, and then I come in and I bring it all together, and we're all celebrating at one time as we all come together, and it's really a lot of fun and excitement in the dance.
So that, I was calling the Miami Dance, it's called Carnival in the Water. Tell us, because I'm going to send folks to...
Correction, not water, Wata.
Wata. I didn't want to insult any of my West Indian folks, even though I do have a strand of family from the Caribbean that goes back about three generations. They came here relatively early.
Okay.
But I didn't want to butcher the word up and have people saying, who does he think he is? Man, but you just given me permission. Carnival in the Wata.
Yes.
The Wata.
It's actually spelled that way, W-A-A-T-A.
Right. So the time has just sped to a close. What I'd like you to do is to tell folks the name of that festival so people can go on YouTube and look up that great energetic performance, the overall name of the festival, and then tell folks how they can find you on social media.
Okay, so the piece was done in collaboration with the African Heritage Cultural Arts Center, and the program that it was produced for is called the Dance Collective, and it's a group of it's the alumni from the dance program through the Cultural Arts Center. So they gathered all the choreographers, some of the choreographers, and created
so we
this
have
dance
to,
collective.
Margarita, we have to leave it there, but please tell folks your social media link so they can follow you and learn more about this and see some of your
All right.
Videos.
You can find me on Facebook at the Holistic Arts Center. And that's
Thank you.
Pretty much it. That's the only social media I have right now.
That's enough. That's enough to get our folks started. So this
Yes.
Rita Gail Major, she's the founder of the Holistic Arts Development Center. Keep up the good work and let us know when something else is going on and we'll check it out.
All right,
we're
going to
continue.
Certainly will.
After
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We're going to continue with the second half of the program after some messages, and we're going to be talking about homeschooling. And even though I seem to say goodbye to Margarita Gail Major, she's going to be joining us for the second half of the program as my co-host. So she's not going anywhere. And I hope you don't either. We'll be right back after some messages. In the Background Tomorrow by Quincy Jones featuring Tevin Campbell.
Jade, and this is my daughter, Jayla. We are homeschoolers, and I would say that our approach to homeschooling was world schooling, eclectic. We have a wide approach on how we homeschool, and we typically travel full-time right now, not so much.
I am a homeschooling mom, mother of seven. I have six girls and one boy, and we homeschool for most of their education, and it's been a phenomenal experience. If I had to do it all over, I would do it exactly like I did.
And that was the voice of a couple of homeschooling parents. And that's the section we're going to be talking about in the second half of the program here. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Good Morning Nueva York on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. All airwaves to the people. And I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till the top of the hour. Giovanni Anglin is engineering. He's filling in for today and Monday, and he is in studio, and I will be remote until things clear themselves up here. On to the second half of the show. And you remember Stokely Carmichael, right? He was the leader of SNCC, that is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and he was also a member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. He was later known as Kwame Ture, and he famously said, if the people don't organize themselves, conditions will. Now, the pandemic has brought homeschooling to families that never thought they'd find themselves there. We'll be joined now by the head of a homeschool organization, a veteran homeschooler herself, with virtual education tools and advice for all of us. And that organization is Liberated Minds Homeschool and Education Institute. And we have with us Queen Thais, who is the CEO and founder of the organization. And we still have with us Marguerite Gale Major, who you just heard about with her dance program, Holistic Arts Center. But she is going to be my co-host for this half of the program. Margarita, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm having a great time. Thank you for having me.
Well, I picked up on your energy, and I said, I got to keep you for the second half because we have a powerful sister that's joining us, and I would like you to introduce her, and then we'll get started with the conversation.
All right. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Queen Thais. She is known as the Queen of Black Homeschooling, the founder and CEO of the Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Institute. She hails out of Atlanta, Georgia, with her programming. However, she serves many from across the globe. We are now serving 12 countries and counting. Welcome, Queen Thais.
Greetings. How's everyone this rising?
Great, wonderful.
We're great. So we threw a little surprise, unless Margarita spilled the beans to you, you know, to have her co-host and continue the program. So before I get to my first question with you, Queen, Margarita, you have a connection to the Liberated Minds Homeschool and Education Institute yourself. Could you describe that, and then we'll get on with our conversation with Queen Thais.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I am the operations director for the Liberated Minds Black Homeschool Institute, and I have the pleasure of working right next to Queen Thais.
Great. So, Queen Thais, we all want to know, what is a liberated mind?
Wow. A liberated mind is a mind that is free to live in divine purpose, to really be able to reach the ultimate greatness and love learning, love living, to be able to contribute to the world in a way that is unique, in a way that is divine, in a way that is purpose-filled.
And how does that apply in your Homeschool and Education Institute?
Well, you know, Liberated Minds is a very unique institute because we specifically focus on the needs of Black children, and we have a very unique set of needs in terms of our social emotional wellness, a lot of the things that we face in our community and our families. And that's really been driven home right now with all of the Black Lives Matter and all of the different movements and things that are you know, publicized, I should say, to be for our people. But there's a lot of uprising in terms of, you know, people not settling anymore for the colonized education that has been given to us for so long, and really wanting to see their children thrive in a way that they are able to actualize their dreams and their goals. So we provide a unique set of resources in terms of curriculum materials for parents who are, you know, ready to take that leap. And we've seen over an 800% increase at this point where families are now turning to homeschooling. They need the extra support. So we also provide the educational training. We provide a unique community, and family of like-minded people, which is so important that we are steeped in community and that we don't feel like we're doing this alone.
Now, Margarita, you're a homeschooler as well. At what point how far along in your homeschooling were you when you connected with Queen Thais and Liberated Minds?
Okay, our connection happened maybe about 4 or 5 years ago when I lived in Georgia, and I was speaking out exactly what she just described. As a homeschool mom, I take the exact same approach towards education. I have my last four children have been homeschooled all their lives. They've never been to public school. And when I moved to Georgia, I wanted to find that community. I wanted to connect with like-minded people. I wanted the uniqueness of culture being involved in our education. And Queen Thais was recommended to me by a friend. I went and checked out for school, and I was totally impressed and totally blown away. And immediately I was bought in and I was on board, and I have been a supporter and participant of Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Institute ever since. And I'm so thankful. I just want to say publicly to Queen Thais, thank you. Thank you for lifting me up. Thank you for giving me all the tools and information that I needed at the time. And you really helped me get through that time of seeking out the proper educational tools for my family.
Wow, absolutely. You know, my pleasure. And this is really what we're about is, you know, building family, building community, building strong bonds and ties between our people to be able to put our children at the center. Because when we say they are the future, that is right on point. Let me say that. That's right and exact, because everything generations to come, and if we're talking about having our liberation and making sure that we have the ability to live a life of joy, of prosperity, of abundance, you know, we're talking about our children, because everything starts with them. And, you know, I think our relationship is a great opportunity for others to see that when you come together in like minds, there's infinite possibilities of not only how you can grow, but the opportunities we can give for our children, the platforms we can create, the relationships we can build for them, and really give them a positive socialization experience. Because I know for a lot of families, you know, they'll ask, well, what about socialization? Everybody tells me that that's an issue. And I say, well, no, it's not an issue. What the issue is that, you know, the issue is that our children are allowed to socialize in a lot of settings with children who don't, and families who don't reflect our morals, our values, and our traditions. And so the difference is when we create these sacred safe havens and communities and family structures, you know, within the Black homeschool movement, they are allowed to and have the opportunity to socialize with children of like minds. So therefore, they're, you know, receiving positive energy, positive relationships, positive reinforcement and feedback that's going to further their greatness in life. And that's very important that we're very specific about who our children socialize with.
We just want to take a moment and let folks know you're listening to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till the top of the next hour. Michael G. Haskins is normally engineering, but Giovanni Anglin is filling in for the next couple of days, and we always welcome him and thank him for being here. We're talking about homeschooling, and we have two guests with us who are representing the Homeschool and Education Institute. That's the Liberated Minds Homeschool and Education Institute. We have Queen Thais, who's the CEO and founder, and we have Margarita Gale Major, who, if you were here with the first half, is connected to the Holistic Arts Development Center, but is also in charge of operations for Liberated Minds. Now, I don't know if you heard when I opened up with the quote from Kwame Ture, but I'm a big fan of his. And along with him saying, if the people don't organize themselves, conditions will. So we're going to get to how the pandemic has brought people to homeschooling and what advice you have. He also said, we are past the time for description. The time is now for prescription. So I'd like to turn to you and ask you, Queen Thais, to give me an example, because I'm picturing families sitting here and saying, this sounds great. I get the philosophy, but what do I do? So can you just give me a nuts and bolts of what to do to actually give a lesson, or what? Give me an example of a lesson that would represent a liberated mind homeschooled.
Absolutely. I mean, a lesson for, the beautiful thing, first of all, I want to just speak about, when you speak about lesson and curriculum, that's one of the biggest questions that people ask is, you know, what type of curriculum do I use? And one of the things that I say is that curriculum is all around us. And, you know, homeschooling is really about a shift in mindset, understanding that, you know, education is everywhere we look. And when we're homeschooling as parents, when we're teaching our children different, whether it's math, science, reading, writing, no matter what subject matter, you know, we have the opportunity to use our environment. So if we shift our minds into everything is learning, you know, we look at cooking. Cooking is learning. You know, if we take them in the kitchen and we're cooking alongside them, not only is it bonding time, but it's an opportunity for them to learn measurements and things like that. If we're talking about math and science, we're also looking at different experiments that they can do around the house. And there is a formalized way. I want to make the very clear distinction between homeschoolers by choice, meaning by design, versus virtual schoolers from the public school who happen to be home, you know, schooling by the computer. So I want to make that distinction, because there is a clear distinction. And that difference is, you know, when we're homeschoolers, you know, through the public school system, you're still following a regimen in a curriculum that is administered by someone else and does not necessarily have your child's specific interest in mind, but just across the board interest of what they're learning and what they're being programmed with. Whereas when you're homeschooling by design, meaning those who have registered as homeschoolers, you know, it's a way of customizing. So number one, you're looking at your child's, what their gifts are, what their talents are, and you're able to nurture those things alongside of learning all of the other curriculum materials, subject matters, you know, across the board. And you're able also to hone in on some of the areas that they may have challenges with, so that doesn't become an issue, but something that that they can work through at their own pace, where they can build their confidence, where they can be spoken to in ways that are encouraging. And there's also no limit on the resources that you can use. So it's not just one textbook, but you're looking at the world as your classroom. So not only can you homeschool from a book and worksheets, but you also have books, you have field trips. You know, there's a ways to bring it to life, and that's really what education is.
So I want to invite our callers, anyone who has a comment, maybe you're homeschooling, maybe you're interested in the transition. You can call 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. What I had in mind when I was bringing you on board was the idea that, you know, as organizers, we kind of start where people are, and it seemed as if, and I might be wrong, that this might be a great opportunity to show people the benefit, because now they've been brought into people being, it's not homeschooling, but they're being schooled at home, even if the curriculum is still being piped in by those who don't always have our best interest at heart. So I'm thinking about a conversation that would help those people, open their eyes to the idea, and maybe when the pandemic ends, maybe they'll actually decide to keep their kids home. And so once again, I'm inviting people to call 212-209-2877 to talk about this or any other topic that you want to. These sisters are well-versed, and they can pick up the conversation on whatever you want to talk about that's going on with you today. So how would you direct somebody, and I know when we say that there's a world of curriculum around, and many parents have that world around them all the time, and they want to support their kids, but they're not sure how to bring the world in even while they're at home, and they want to pass lessons to them. So right. Is there something that you present to them that gives them a handle on how to actually, okay, now we're starting. What do I do?
Absolutely. And that's what we're finding right now. There's a huge, huge surge in homeschooling, and in particular Black families who never were really the ones to homeschool initially. I know I've been homeschooling 25 years, and in the very beginning of my homeschool journey, there weren't a lot of people that, you know, looked like myself that I could go to, you know, groups I can join and things like that. It was very limited. And so we're seeing an awakening, you know, of our people who realize through the pandemic that, hey, this is, you know, I'm home doing this anyway with my children and supporting them, you know, through a curriculum that's being given to them. Versus, you know, hey, I could do this myself. This is some things, realizing that the time that we're putting in assisting our children with carrying out a different curriculum, this can be a curriculum that is tailor-made for them. So what
sorry
I would suggest for parents...
Sorry to cut you off. Is we have callers, and I really try to be loyal to them.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yeah, let's hear what they have to say. So we'll take our first caller. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question or comment?
From New York City. I'm in Manhattan as we speak. I always listen to you guys. I'm actually calling because I overheard when I was listening to the Queen talking, she mentioned having to be registered to homeschool. And I wanted to find out if that was what I heard, that was the process. And also, once you start homeschooling your children, because I work full time, would that be a full time job, or does the curricula allow you to be able to work part time at the same time schooling, giving them their own time to do their own work? How does that whole situation work? Would I have to be at home 24 hours? Would I need someone there?
Okay. Thanks for that. Those are two great questions. Thanks for calling.
Great
call
great
back
questions.
Again. So,
yes,
so please, Queen, your response.
If you don't mind, let me chime in here real quick. I wanted to, because I think it's important to say this at this moment, there are lots of questions and you know, the answers could be very... But I just wanted to point out that there's a training coming up. And, Queen, you can, you know, explain that training that will help the moms with the many thousand questions that they have. Make sure you talk about that training coming up. Absolutely, absolutely. And to answer her question, she was very low. I couldn't hear her fully, but I think what she was asking is about registration, what she needs to do to register. So every state has a different registration process, and you would file a letter of intent with your homeschool division of your state. And so New York City, I used to live in New York City, and so I know the laws do change from time to time, but the best thing to do is to go to the Department of Education that handles, you know, homeschooling, and you register on there with a letter of intent, and generally have to keep track of your attendance as well as, you know, your curriculum that you're using, your books that you're using, and be able to give a grade, you know, for the subjects that the children are studying. And so it's best to check with HSLDA, I believe it is. They are a homeschooling legal organization, and I find that their information is most accurate in terms of the laws changing consistently from state to state. And the other piece is, no, you do not have to be home. You know, homeschooling has really grown in the terms of how it can be done. And, of course, depending on the age of your children as well. But also, there's a lot of people who use a compilation of different things. So, for instance, the parents may homeschool. And you can homeschool working full-time. It's just a matter of scheduling that time. You may say, okay, I'm going to work with my child for, you know, 2-3 hours in the evening. They may take another class online that helps to fulfill that time. It's generally from 4 to 5 hours a day per state. Just depends on each state has its unique set of rules and laws. And so there's many ways to do it. Some children go to another establishment or a homeschool co-op that also you could be a part of, where if you're working, you know, during the day or certain hours, maybe there's other things that you can offer to the collective, where you say, hey, well, I can do some admin work on the weekend, or I can teach a class, or my expertise is here. This is something I can give to the group, and my child can also be there present with other children and have a social environment, because the social environment is very important as well. I definitely don't recommend just solely doing other aspects of just being online all day, unless you have other social outlets, of course.
Let me add some information here, because she did ask about New York. And so if you're still listening, if not, and if you miss the information as I give it to you, you can email me at king@wbai.org. The information was correct. The place to go to is the New York State Education Department, and the link is nysed.gov/nonpublic-schools/home-instruction. I know that's a lot, but if you put New York State Education Department into your search engine and then add homeschool, which is what I did, just New York State homeschool, it'll take you there. And it says parents of persons in parental relation to compulsory school age children have the legal right to instruct their children at home. If a child is being educated at home, the school district must be assured that the child is receiving instruction on certain required courses. Parties who wish to homeschool their children must provide written notice of intent to the school district superintendent. The school district must then respond to the family and provide a copy of the home instruction regulations, as well as an individualized home instruction plan form to complete. So the information is there. And I will ask you to repeat the name of the legal organization you were talking about, because I might have them on to talk about any of the challenges that they might face. So could you repeat that info?
Yes. It's actually HSLDA. I believe, I'm hoping I have the letters in the right order. Hold on a second. It's a homeschool organization that's the international. Yes, HSLDA. They are an international homeschool organization. It's a legal organization that gives a lot of information on, you know, the, I feel, the most up-to-date information. A lot of times people go online and find their laws.
Okay. So our clock has run out, unfortunately, but, you know, we're going to come up with another excuse to have you back the next time you have an event. I know you're having you have your expo in June. Is that right?
Yes, we have an expo in June.
Okay, there's no time to answer. There's no time to answer, but we will have you back in June for the expo, and folks who want to check out the organization can go to look up Liberated Minds and look for the Afrocentric page, because a couple of other ones might pop up, and if you see Queen Thais and all, you'll recognize her just from the energy here. You'll know. And so thank you for being on the air, liberatedminds.com, Queen Thais, and
thank
to
you.
Margarita Gale Major for co-hosting and for your work in the area of dance. We're going to say goodbye, but we're going to go out with a piece that I was hoping to play from one of your earlier expos, and that was the presentation by the math doctor. So we're going to close out the program with that, and this is the last show of the week for me. We will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend
and
have a great Friday.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, King. Thank you.
The workshop. Get your math on. Hopefully after this is over, you'll want to get your math on, because you're going to see. I'm going to take you through a fantastic voyage and show you everything you like, everything you can think about, everything you want to be requires math. You can't get away from it. Then I'm going to put out a challenge to anybody in here. If you can name me something that doesn't have math in it, I will give you something. But math is involved in everything. A people who do not know mathematics will always be subject to a people who know mathematics. How many of y'all can name me five black mathematicians? Put your hand in the air. That's a shame. Quickly, you can name me rappers, entertainers, sports figures, and comedians, but none of y'all can name me one black mathematician. That is atrocious. So when you're in your math class and you don't see black people learning math, what does that tell you? Maybe that's something we can't do. So maybe you tuned out of it. But you ain't got no problem wanting to be a ball player. You ain't got no problem wanting to be a rapper and a comedian and an actor, right? And a thug, maybe, because you see us doing that. But do you know that there are black mathematicians? Do you know that we created math in the first place? Now, when you flip through your math textbook, do you see any of us in it as mathematicians? You don't. That's why you can't name me five black mathematicians. One is Ron Milkins, David Blackwell. You remember Benjamin Banneker during February, during Black History Month. You heard about him, right? He's the one that designed Washington, D.C. He's the one that made up an almanac, but he was also a mathematician and an astronomer. There's Ernest Wilkins, Kelly Miller, and my mentor and teacher, Dr. Abdul Aleem Shaban. You don't even know these people. But you got to know that you are mathematics and you brought math on the planet. When we go to Egypt and we study the pyramids, do you know that it's called one of the seven wonders of the world? Why you think it's called that? Because they're wondering how the heck we did it. We had a higher form of mathematics than this world knows anything about. Yes, the black man and woman did. That's how we built those pyramids, because when you go to Egypt and look in the pyramids and look in the hieroglyphics, these are black people like you and I. So don't tell me I can't learn math, but yet you brought math on the planet. Something's wrong with that, because you are mathematics yourself. Did you know that? Every time you wake up and look in the mirror, you're looking at math. How do you know? Because you got 206 bones. You got 9 systems in your body controlled by one called the brain. Any of those systems get out of whack, your whole body gets out of whack. Do you know that you have a certain width to your artery that allows the blood to flow at a particular speed? All that's math. If the width gets too small, what happens? You get a heart attack. You get a heart disease, right? If the blood pumps too fast, then you get heart problems. Math is universal. Everything you can think of requires mathematics and uses math. You just weren't taught this in your class.
Hi, this is Gil Scott here, an unknown bluesologist. Speaking to you on Free Speech Radio, WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. Stay here.
When the pandemic hit, theater artists had to get creative to produce stories without a stage, and they did. Award-winning playwright James Anthony Tyler and acclaimed director Jameel Jude got together to create an audio play called All We Need Is Us. Join me, Marcia Pendleton, your host and my guest, as we explore theater you can hear and that engages the imagination on Thursday, April 8th at 9 p.m. on Backstage Stories.
For my fellow New Yorkers.
My mama, who's a healthcare worker.
Nurses and doctors.
For my father.
For the marginalized communities who don't have access to adequate healthcare.
For my children.
My community.
Essential workers.
Transit workers.
The immunocompromised.
I wear a mask so we can get back to work.
Go to school. Share a meal.
See a movie.
Hug my friends.
Dance together.
Go to the theater.
See our families.
Continue to show support.
Take care of each other.
Save lives.
Stay strong.
99.5 FM WBAI.